If you're all going to talk about your plane experience, Patrick can talk about how their new safety video is so much worse. Now they have them sitting in Hawaii when they used to be sitting in the
Oh, the
theater.
Do you mean the safety video that you watched because you had to fly to Florida and back and I had to drive?
Four times.
Because let me tell you.
Five times I had to watch that.
Let me tell you.
I think we watched it five times.
The Dodge Ram? You did. The
did
Dodge Ram
did
doesn't,
have, a
it doesn't have a safety video.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No. And that's why I went 90 the whole way. Because.
Did you have your seatbelt on?
Yes.
Did you store your carry-on underneath in front of you?
That seems very dangerous, doesn't
it? Well,
it
does, but still. Did you? All right, let's get this on recording.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Out of Bell Pod.
Yes, the Out of Bell Pod. We're doing something new.
Yes.
Just thought we'd try a new format here, so we're doing Pod Blah Blah Blahs now.
And
we're still going to have it on the YouTube and the podcast feed, but you can also catch us on your favorite Pod Blah 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 app on Android, iPhone, all the different platforms.
I like that we're going to have it on the YouTube.
The YouTube, yeah, the YouTube, yeah. You know, the internet's just a series of tubes.
It really is.
Yeah.
There's there's YouTube.
Right.
There's my tube.
Right.
There's Jerome's tube.
Yeah.
That's funny.
It is, isn't it?
It is.
Well, it's buttermilk hilarious. Comes in a tube, doesn't it?
It does come
well,
in a tube.
Well, it's more of a jug.
I was going to ask if blah, blah, blah was America or China.
No.
Oh,
it's actually pod, blah, blah, blah.
It's pod, blah, blah.
Oh, yeah.
That sounds American.
That's why. Otherwise, it would be Chinese.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm Chili.
I'm Melissa.
I'm Eric.
And I'm Jerry.
Welcome to the Outer Belt
Podcast.
Blah, 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 blah. Oh, man, I'm so happy to be back. As y'all noticed, we've been gone for 6-8 months. I don't know. How long has it been?
It's been a while.
It's been a while. It's really been, what, 2 weeks?
It's been mid-season hiatus.
All this pent-up silliness.
Well, you see what happened is we upset the sponsors.
Yeah.
And they said that we had to have a 2-week timeout.
Yep.
So we made the best of it.
We did.
And
we really did.
Little do they know,
yeah. So
they
you.
Thought they got out of paying us.
Mm-hmm.
Really, we just got PTO, right?
There we go.
Or PTSD, I'm not sure which yet. But at least we're back now. We have been picked up for a few more episodes, and I'm excited to be here with my friends.
Yeah, you see my knee here? This is from being on my knees groveling to let our show come back. I don't know if you guys knew I did that or
not. No, I did not know that.
Yeah, that's what that injury there is from.
Jeez, you got to be careful.
You do. When you
groveling.
Gravel, when you're on your knees groveling, you got to be careful.
Groveling on the gravel?
Yes.
That's what it looks like.
What is groveling? Is groveling just like when you're on your knees on gravel and they're like begging and they're like, oh, look, it's groveling.
Yes, I think it is. I think it's a level below begging.
Oh.
Like begging is like, please, please.
I know.
It's like tears.
But you promised.
Exactly.
We've got our Wikipedia Eric over here. Wiki Eric.
Aw.
He's going to check out groveling.
Yeah. Unfortunately, tonight we don't have our producing assistant, Dawn, in the house.
No.
So Eric's having to handle some business.
Yeah. What does groveling say?
There's a few different definitions on the dictionary.
Different spellings, same spelling.
Groveling, groveling.
I have no idea.
Sounds like a good
word. I think it's, hey Siri, what does groveling mean?
What's she going to tell you?
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I found this on the web. Yeah. Okay, so groveling is.
Okay.
Someone needs to turn their cell phone off.
Yeah, why is she talking to me? This says groveling versus an apology.
Yeah, I could see that.
There needs to be genuine remorse. Were you genuinely remorseful?
The sponsors?
I was genuinely remorseful to the sponsors.
The groveler has to suffer?
Yep.
I did.
I
suffered right here. Yep.
Check.
Yep.
Next.
But, and this is important, these two things aren't enough. Time. Specifically, the rejection of a groveler over time. So you need to be apologizing.
Right.
You need to be suffering.
Right.
It needs to be over a period of time.
2 weeks.
And we're back.
There you go. There you go. You're welcome.
Thank you.
You're all welcome. Not you. The viewing, listening audience is all welcome for my suffering and my apologies to the sponsors.
I suffered too.
Did you suffer?
I don't know.
Okay. Oh, so much fun.
Well, for like 6 minutes, I was like, are we going to have a job when we come back?
Yeah, exactly. It worried. Well, it wasn't enough time.
6 minutes. That's it, huh? Mm-hmm.
And it was actually spread out over like 20-second thoughts over the course of 2 weeks.
It wasn't six solid minutes.
It was six aggregate minutes.
I think I would have just done the 6 minutes in aggregate and been done with it.
Oh, not in aggregate. 6 minutes in...
You're right. In one time, one big chunk. Yes.
Whatever it's called.
What you did was aggregate.
Consecutively.
Consecutive. Yeah. 6 consecutive minutes.
And this has been your daily dose of the thesaurus dictionary.
The word of the day is...
Brought to you by the letter
G. G. And the number 2.
Really?
2 weeks off.
Oh.
Jerry, how you doing?
Doing great. How are you?
Good. You do anything fun over this last weekend?
Or the one before that or the one before that?
Yeah.
No.
Nice.
Oh, actually, we did. We had Don's birthday.
Oh, that's
two
right.
2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
He had family come in, right?
His sister came down to visit.
Nice.
His youngest sister spent a few hours with us, went out to eat.
A few hours.
Nice. Yeah.
I wanted
it's a
to
long
share
way
with
for a few hours.
You.
Why can't all family do that?
You had, you did a guest show. Well, first off, you had Vince and I not too long ago. But after Vince and I on Expediter Boogie, you had your mom on there.
Yes.
I loved watching the video. It was so good. She's so funny. And so proud of her gourds. She kept calling herself like a gourd head or something.
Yeah, I didn't realize how much goes into the gourds and how big her business is.
Oh, I didn't either.
She's got the guy who's growing gourds for her. And in the process of going through and cleaning the gourds and curing the gourds, I had no idea.
Nor did I know they came in a bunch of different sizes.
Yeah.
I mean, I kind of thought they were an average size, but I mean... She's making ornaments out of some of these, you know, like a tree ornament for Christmas. And I'm like, well, that's got to be tiny. But
fun stuff.
Just, I didn't realize, like Vin said, that there was so much. And then her talent of what she's able to do, the whole pine needle weaving thing or whatever. Just, I really enjoyed her video on Expedite.
That's his other channel. We'll talk about that one
That's
here.
Expedite. Blah, blah, blah.
But yes, I did. I really liked it. It was good.
Thank you. I'll be sure to tell her that.
Yeah.
She's very, very talented. Been doing it a long time. And
Yeah.
They come in all different sizes, all the way from little bitty small spinner gourds up to huge things.
Yeah.
And she actually just had a huge show this past weekend in Knoxville, Tennessee. It's called the Rizzani Festival. And this is the second time doing it. And she actually had... two more galleries, one out of Western North Carolina and another one out of Upper Georgia area, approach her. And so now she has two more galleries. So now she's got 9 galleries that wants to carry her art.
Oh, that's amazing.
That's awesome. Yeah. That is awesome.
She's very excited.
Yeah.
She's getting to the point to where it's going to be, she wants to focus more of just her website and not travel as much and do as much shows because she's just got so many galleries now that... She's literally got like 4 of the galleries that are like knocking on her door. Hey, we need more product because we're all sold out. And she's only one person.
Right, so.
Is she looking for an apprentice?
No. Not right now.
I'm looking at what's next for me. You know?
Everybody
in
needs
like
a hobby.
15
years. I don't think she puts stick figures on the gourds.
She tries to get the
kid. There goes my chances.
She tries to get the kid across the street to like help wash gourds and stuff like that, and she pays him, you know, like $10-$12 an hour to sit and wash them, and so he helps out some.
Yeah, cool.
And I would think that would be the time-consuming part. Yeah. Well, part of it, along with obviously her artistic of painting or.
If it's a large piece, I mean, she's worked on one piece for weeks before it's ready, just depending on how big it is.
Wow.
That's crazy to me. It's the big one, the one she makes the drums out of?
Those are more, they tend to be more like tall and kind of oval shape, I guess you would say.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. For the thunder drums.
Cool.
The ones that make the sound?
Those are hottest sellers right now. Everybody's wanting those.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was really neat. And then again, who knew they made sound like that?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, she learned that from one of her friends, And then she's now started doing it. And now there's other people that are trying to replicate it. They don't get the same sound, though, because she actually uses real lambskin.
Well, we don't want to give away all her secrets on the show, but...
Well, she told us on Sarah Boogie.
Oh, what she gave it
with them. Yeah, she gave it away. Yeah.
It's one of those, like, I can give you the secrets to success, but you won't do it because it's more difficult, more expensive, more talent.
She even teaches classes on how to do this stuff.
Yeah.
So, I mean.
Maybe before the neck of the woods, I'd have to do one of those.
I get it.
I enjoyed it. I just wanted to share. We took time out of our day, and she made me laugh.
Cool. Thank you. Stuff.
Yeah. I'm glad to know. So I didn't get the
reminder
for it. So I literally, one of the things I was going to talk to you about was, why did you stop doing the lives? And I'm glad to know that it's not you stopped. It's that the algorithm's not telling me.
Yeah, sometimes YouTube does that. It just won't send out notifications. I'm actually going live when you guys are watching this. It'll be the Thursday before you watching this, but I'm going live tomorrow night.
Oh, cool.
I haven't gotten the memo for that. Have you been advertising?
I put it out Monday.
So
you're not even on my Facebook scroll, though, anymore. Where did that hide?
It's on Facebook and YouTube. It's there.
Huh. What are you going live with?
Myself.
Me, myself, and I.
Me, myself, and I.
Well, he got a little party at three.
He got tired of paying for the guest appearances, and so.
I see.
We were pretty expensive being two of us, and, you know, we have a pretty hefty
all those snacks and caviar in the green room.
Yeah, exactly.
Ooh.
Exactly.
Oh, that green room experience is fun.
The lobster was amazing.
So just you.
Yeah, I'm going to, tomorrow is going to be tips and tricks on how to handle things at home while you're on the road for so long.
Oh, ooh, nice. That's a good one.
Yeah, it is.
I saw that the Real Trucker couple just did a little blurb inside one of their videos, but he said lots of people have been asking, how do you handle things at home? His was mail related.
Oh yeah.
So they had and he shared a couple of issues and how they resolved it. But I think that's a great video to do. I don't think a lot of people think about that.
No, and you know what? It's something I worried about before we get on the road, and we just had to sit down and figure it all out. Yeah. So I'm sure having a heads up on what to do would be great.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm excited.
It is funny when you get on the road and you're like, I need to do this, and it's due Thursday, but there's no way I'll get home.
Yeah.
And you are forced to figure things out. It's also gotten so much better and so much easier
than
when we all started.
Electronically, everything.
Yes. Oh, man. I thought about this today. I was at the DMV. So for those of you that don't know, if you were at the expo 5 or 6 years ago, a couple expos back-to-back, and we threw down and had our typical parking lot party, you may have saw my RV. We had, Eric and I's RV. We had a 40-foot diesel pushing RV, and we had it out there, and that's where we kind of had Party Central started, and it all went outside. And we sold that thing a few years ago during the pandemic. As soon as we sold it, immediate remorse. You ever done that where you sold something or you got rid of something and immediately you're like, that was a huge mistake. I should not have done that.
Right.
Absolutely.
This was that. As soon as we got rid of it, we were like, oh, this was dumb. We should not have done this. And so we sold it.
It was for strategic purposes at the time.
It was.
So there was a reason behind it.
Yes, there were alternatives we could have done, but this was the easier course of action. And we ended up selling it to a friend, so that was kind of nice, right? Like, friend got the RV, we at least knew it was going to go to someone who would take care of it, yada, yada.
Right.
Well, they ended up calling us a few weeks ago and saying, hey, we're actually not traveling anymore, and we've got a job in the wherever he lives, and just travel's not an option. Would we be interested in buying it back? Because I did say something at the time of like, hey, if you ever want to sell it, let me know. I might be interested in buying it back. And so Eric and I talked about it for like 6 minutes. Again.
6 minutes. That seems to be your
it's
number.
It's a very common.
20-second intervals again? Or
no, this was
solid
like
block.
3-minute intervals. So okay. We only had two of them. So we ended up going back and buying it. And I got the nasty gram that it had been almost 30 days and I needed to go
already
register it with the DMV. Wow. So I got to go do that today. But while I'm at the DMV, thinking to myself, or when we were actually getting ready to pay for everything, they took credit card for everything. And I remember going to the DMV in Louisiana, and it was strictly cash, period.
Thank you, Louisiana.
There were no other options than that. And I remember like having to either leave and go to the bank. And this was even when we had the trucking company. When we did our apportion plates back in the day, Eric and I would have to go to the DMV, get everything done, get the total amount of money, leave, go to the bank, not at ATM because we're talking thousands of dollars. Right. Thousands of dollars to register all these trucks. Easily $10,000, $20,000 towards the end.
Oh, yeah, when we renewed the IRP yes. every year for the entire fleet.
Yeah, because it all gets done on one date. So everything gets renewed at the exact same time. And so we have to literally go with this chunk of cash and drop it off. Like, I think about that versus today, I swipe my credit card. And it was just like no big deal. My license expires next month. So I was I knew I had to go in and you know, to renew the license. Sure. We have these little express DMVs where you can do things like license renewals. So I was like, okay, I'll just go there at one point and do it. But before I did that, I got a notification in the mail that my truck needed to be renewed, the plate on it. So I'm like, all right, cool. Let me jump on the online and do it because I know I can do that online. And while I was there, I was like, do you need a license renewal? And I'm like,
well,
I wonder.
Well, yes, I do.
So I went, and sure enough, it let me renew my CDL
wow.
right there on the website.
That's pretty cool.
They'll have a new one to me in like 14 days.
That's
and I'm
really?
Like, that's, yes.
How do they get your picture for the new license?
Just use the old
they
one.
They use the old one, I guess.
Yeah.
I think you can only do it once online, then you have to go inside the store again or something okay. like that. But still, I'm like, this is great. I was blown away.
Yeah,
I was
cool.
freaking
yeah.
blown
especially
away.
Especially because you can do that from anywhere. I mean, you might have done it too. Did you just have to redo your DOT? Only because we did them at the same time last year.
Mm-mm.
He gets a two-year.
Oh, well.
He is number one.
I know. So I had to redo mine. But I'm like, I'm not going to go stand in that line. You've been there.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not even getting up to go early to try to be one of the first five in line. And I went on the website, and there was a way that you could do it all over online. And I'm like, oh, this is so nice. Like, truly, if I was out over the road, I could have gotten my physical done anywhere.
Yeah.
And uploaded it to my state.
Right.
My state being Ohio. But I think that's just really cool that you don't have to be in person for some of the, non-actual photograph kind of licensee kind of thing.
Yeah.
I think COVID in 2020 pushed a lot of states to become more technologically advanced than they needed to be before.
I think so.
I think that did it for most places.
Yeah, I really agree. Like, I mean, COVID was horrible. I wish we never went through that time period, but we did. There have been a ton of improvements.
Oh, sure.
Because of it. Sure. I mean, I think about, like, you know, like, wars are always bad, but you think of the technological advances that came out of, like, World War II or even World War I or whatever, like, it's always we come out of the other side of that thing with these huge technical advances. Some are good, some are not, but still, it's...
Well, GPS comes from the military.
It does.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So
yep.
things like that on the good side.
Yep.
GPS.
Over-the-road mattress company, the mattress company we own, our beds have a layer of memory foam that is amazing. But the original memory foam mattresses, the original memory foam was developed by NASA for people to sleep while they're in space. So, like, none of that exists without the space program. It's
right.
crazy. Think about all the memory foam companies. Is it Tempur-Pedic? No.
Mm-hmm.
The big one? Mm. Like, none of that exists without that. It's just amazing. Like, but, yeah, so I agree. I love that if the one good thing that came out of COVID was it very much made states and places that were holding on.
The whole country.
Yeah.
Probably around the world, too, but we just know about our country's stuff.
I did think it was funny. Eric and I just watched there's a YouTube guy we follow online called Jeb Brooks. He reviews airplanes and trains and cruise ships and all kinds of stuff. Just got married like a year or two ago, and it's just been a lot of fun watching them. He just did a cross-country train ride on Amtrak, and he did it in economy. He did it in a little baby room, and he did it in a big room. So it's cool. You kind of get to see throughout the progress of his journey different aspects of Amtrak and
right.
all this stuff. But leaving somewhere in California, I don't remember the station, they were at the cafe, and he said, just a heads up, if you go to this cafe, it's really good. They're cash only. And I think it's inside of Amtrak's station. Like, it's not even like a thing on the other side. And I'm like, cash only? Like, I haven't heard of a cash only anything in at least 5 years.
We right. went to a food truck Monday in L.A. that was cash only. And they park in the same place all the time.
Yeah.
And they have a sign in the window. It says cash only, ATM machine and laundromat. And across the street was a laundromat.
But I feel like even that, it's like, are they just trying to, you know?
Well, yeah, it could be.
They're,
it
like,
could
I, always,
be.
I always feel like when I'm doing that kind of thing, it's cooking the books or it's I don't want to pay the
fee,
the fee or whatever.
Fee, yeah.
But nowadays, a lot of those places charge you for the fee.
They
so
charge you for the fee.
I won't shop
this
there.
This is a installed inside of Amtrak station, which is owned by the government, and you will only take cash. It's just funny to me. I just thought it was so strange. And this video was just a few months ago. Or not even a few months ago, like a month ago that they filmed it. So
cash only.
Now I have to go put my hat on the sidewalk and play a violin or something.
Even those guys aren't cash only.
Yeah.
Those guys got a big a QR code. You can just scan it and Venmo them. Yeah.
I thought it was cool. I think y'all might have saw it when we were in London together, and I can't wait for you to see it when we go to London. In London, they don't have the QR code. They have just a tap.
Oh, yeah, tap.
You just walk by, put your credit card or your phone on it, boop, then walk on down the road.
Talking about the subway?
No, the musicians
the
on
buskers,
the side of the road
the buskers,
and stuff.
Yeah.
Okay.
The what?
The buskers.
Is that what that's called?
That's what they call them, buskers.
Oh. And
that's your other word of the day.
I guess.
That's tomorrow.
I like it. I mean, if you're going to hustle, make it easy.
Yeah.
But
exactly.
I don't keep cash on me.
Exactly.
I had some guy approach me on that drive down to Kelly and Jimmy's house a week and a half ago that I did during our sabbatical.
Right.
I was at the gas station filling up a truck. He walks over. He's like, get any cash to help me out or whatever. And I'm like, I don't have anything. And he's like, oh, come on, man. I'm like, I literally don't have any cash. Don't have a need for it. Like, it just never really have a purpose for it anymore.
Sure.
If I need cash, I'll pop into an ATM.
I forgot what it looks like.
It's green.
I don't carry it.
Vince carries some on him kind of at all times.
Yeah, I try and keep a little bit on me at all times.
For what ifs, you know. But
but he's an older
gentleman.
But
like he could have that same, let's say he does $100.
No offense.
You know, he could have that same $100 in his pocket for three, four, 5 months. Yeah. But it's there for a just in case somebody needs that cash. You know, a musical event where maybe they don't have pay and go and you need to give cash or you know, things like that. Whatever that might be.
And there's other reasons why
I
carry cash too. The food truck, but there's other reason why I carry cash too. But you know, business wise, so
yeah. I made a joke about you being an older gentleman and I apologize for that. But
it's funny.
I have noticed the older the person I know, the more cash they keep on them. Like when I talk to people in their 70s, they have a couple $100 on them. Talk to someone in their 80s, they got like $1,000 on them. It's like, you know people like this?
It's funny you mention that because I remember my grandma when I was younger. She would always, always walk up to me and she'd give me like $5, $10. And I'd be like, Grandma, I don't need it. And she would always say, you never know when you're going to get a headache and you need to get something.
Exactly.
Just keep $5 on you. Like all the time.
Yeah. It's so strange.
That's funny.
Remember because they had the older gentlemen had the money clips and everything.
Yeah. The older gentleman.
I know he set me up.
Please tell the viewers what's now happening.
I know
for those
set
of
me
you
up.
That are just listening on your favorite podcast, Vince just reached into his pocket
and pulled out his
money clip.
Pulling out his money clip.
Yeah. Well, I don't carry a wallet in my back pocket either. I carry a little small card holder in my front pocket, you know, and I keep my cash in the money clip.
Yeah.
So.
And y'all know me. I have the George Costanza ridiculous wallet I keep on
which
me,
is unusual for someone of your. Age.
Demographic.
You got to have certain things on you. I'm sorry.
Speaking of money clips, tell them what I used to carry around.
Eric used to keep, you know,
literally.
The black binder clips that you, with the metal thing wings on them.
Yeah,
that used to be what it was.
It was the most convenient thing I ever had.
I like what you
classless,
use now.
Classless, but.
it's a little embarrassing, you know. We show up at like, what's that place in Easton? RH, Restoration Hardware, right? You go up to their restaurant. The cheapest thing on the menu is like $28. And it's really good. And we'd go and we'd spend $100 on dinner. Or not even dinner snacks or whatever. And then Eric pulls out his, you know, American money clip with the big plastic thing and the but underneath it's a platinum American Express, and it's like, they're going to think this is fake. Like,
it was a clip for my money.
Yes.
That's funny.
And I keep a couple credit cards on the back, the Apple Wallet, and then, of course, those who know me, I love credit cards, so I've got a three-ring binder at home. With
He's
pages.
He's got one of those things, you know.
Do you really? Three-ring?
Yes. Guys, I do. You guys may not be aware of these things. We used to have the big CD cases that were the big binders, and they had the pages that flipped. So he's just got a three-ring binder of just a bunch of clear pages that he keeps them on.
I do.
Do you remember?
That's funny.
Do you remember running out of the CD spots and so you had to
double them up?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you'd trip them up and they'd rip?
Yeah. It just, yeah.
And depending on what is going on in a particular month and what rewards on what card, I usually sit down at the first of every month and I go through and say, okay, I need to get this out. I need to get this out. This one I'm not using, so I put it in and I swap them out.
Meanwhile,
gosh, you've got the game going on.
Oh, I've had Wells Fargo. I've had two Wells Fargo credit cards because I bought the first one because it had an outstanding like 24 months of interest-free financing. And I'm like, well, I'll probably need something, so let me get it. Never used it. Didn't put a single penny on it. They closed it. Come again, when we bought this house, I'm like, oh, we're, you know, getting all kinds of stuff for the house, so I need an interest-free credit card.
Sure.
And then you're sending me offers again. So I'm like, well, let me go ahead and take it now. Didn't put a penny on it. They canceled it out. Guess what they just started sending me?
More offers again?
21% interest-free. And I'm like, come on, Wells Fargo. You've tried twice.
Right.
I guess you're hoping it'll stick on this third time?
All I can think about is all of the welcome bonuses you missed out on because you didn't even charge anything. Free money. You missed it.
I know.
Let's say my philosophy on credit cards is you get them when you need to use the 2 years of free interest on something. Like you're going to start a new huge project. That's the perfect time to get you a new card. Don't get it just because they're offering it.
The problem is they don't always give it to you when you need it. So
you have to remember.
I know.
If they're offering it to you, go back to them.
Wells Fargo just launched a brand new one like 3 weeks ago. That is really, really good.
Oh. I don't know. I hate Wells Fargo. I mean, I love them, but I hate them. I hate all banks. You know, I'm slowly, I think I told you all this before already, I'm slowly, slowly turning into a Dave Ramsey person. I'm ready to get rid of all the debt of everything.
I can't complain.
I know. So anyways.
I heard you mention I-90.
990?
I-90. What were you doing on I-90?
I wasn't.
95.
I'm like, was I in Oregon?
I heard you mention I-90 something.
I wasn't way up north.
I-95.
I-95?
What were you doing on
I-95? I was. Did we go to I-95? I went down to Kelly and Jim. Huh?
75.
I was transitioning.
75?
You ruined the transition.
I'm so sorry.
But I-90 was good, but you don't have to be on I-90. You could be on I-95 instead.
I took a little trip down to Florida during the sabbatical.
Okay.
And I got a really good deal on a cruise. And as you've learned from our past several conversations, the weather here has been miserable.
Sure.
Absolutely miserable. So I had a good deal on a cruise, and I asked Eric, you want to go? He's like, sure. So we booked flights, got ready to go down there. I had a piece of furniture I wanted to get rid of. Well, furniture. I don't know. What do you call it?
It became furniture.
Yeah, furniture. And Kelly and Jimmy mentioned when they found out I was getting rid of it, they were like, we'd like to have it. And so I'm like, well, this would be great. Why don't I cancel my flight, and I'll get a rental truck like from Enterprise and bring it down to y'all. And when you looked at what I saved with the – and I was already going to get a car down in Florida anyways – so I canceled that one. So between canceling the car in Florida and canceling my flight, I paid for the rental, so it didn't cost me any additional money.
Oh, nice.
So I ended up taking that furniture down there, hung out with them one night, left and went down to Florida, and jumped on a cruise ship and headed out into sunnier, warm pastures. It was a lot of fun.
I'm so glad that furniture's gone.
It makes your life so much easier.
I don't have to do the limbo when I go into your office.
Yeah, it was really taking up space.
I need to get two of those today before we leave.
Nice. Furnitures or limbos?
Swag bags.
Oh. Yeah, had a great time. Y'all ended up surprising us.
What? We did?
We did.
Did.
Yeah.
We We ended up having a couple, like, what, 3 days where we were going to be in Key West. Lo and behold, who shows up?
Well, you know, that's what you do.
I had an idea.
Yeah.
About Key West?
Well.
Key West was nice.
Key West
for
was
the
nice.
Record, I had no idea.
It was a quick in and out.
It was a nice surprise, yeah.
But it was fun.
I knew.
About 6 minutes.
That's how long you thought about it.
Right, exactly.
I remember texting you being like, hey, we're going to be in Key West. Would you be interested? Do y'all want to fly down and join us or whatever? And you were like, let me talk to Buttermilk. And I think it was 6 minutes later. I got it. We'll be there.
Yep.
So, yep. No, that was ended up being a nice, fun trip. I thought it was hysterical because I've not really been to Key West. I know a lot of people have. We were there 2017, I want to say. On our way to Cuba, and we did a Cuban cruise, and back when it was open, but it was like a 4-hour stop in Key West.
Oh, that's not near.
No, it was
long
very
enough.
Very odd that it was such a short stay. So we got off the boat and walked around a little bit and kind of get right back on. It was kind of, I didn't really get to see much.
Right.
So we ended up going down there. I really didn't know what to expect. The hotel we ended up getting had a place for a car, so I was pretty happy about that. But there's no parking down there. Everything's it's all walking.
Yeah,
we must have walked a couple miles just in circles while we were down there seeing places and doing things. And had a great time just playing dominoes with y'all for a while point.
That was probably my highlight. I enjoyed that.
That was a lot of fun. And we also went to a rum distillery.
Yes.
That was really cool.
That was fun.
You know, we've done the bourbon trail and done a lot of the bourbon distilleries and stuff. So kind of seeing the rum side of things and how they do it. It was a lot of fun. I enjoyed it. Yeah. It ended up being a really good time away.
I think a lot of people think, you know, when you go to a place like Key West, you know, why didn't you do the beaches? Why didn't you, you know, do X, Y, and Z and shop more? Whatever people do when they go to Key West. Playing dominoes and sitting and doing that. Taking, I don't know, hour and a half, 2 hours out of our day. That's so us, though. That's like, it was perfect.
We sat there, we played dominoes, we smoked a cigar.
Yeah, and it was kind of indoor-outdoor, so you still got to enjoy the fresh air. And it just, I mean, we're not big shoppers anyway, at least Vincent and I are not. So to window shop or browse and, you know, all the trinket shops just isn't our thing. So. Yeah, right. But playing dominoes was just a lot of fun. And on the domino board or the domino table, it seemed very authentic. Yep. And
it was very Cuban, Puerto Rican.
It was a lot of fun.
Yep. I think it was, you know, again, with like the beaches or snorkeling, because that's a huge thing down there too. Or I know like dry tortugas is a huge deal. Like, why don't we do any of that stuff? And it's like, well, it just takes too much time.
Right.
We were there for one solid day.
Right.
And half a day before and half a day after.
Yeah.
Like, it was a very short trip. And so, all that stuff, like, anything that would take up more than a couple hours was off the list.
Yeah.
And so, it really did just leave walking around and seeing things. And one thing I thought would be cool, we'd go to Hemingway's house. But, again, just time, it goes by so fast.
Weather was perfect. I wouldn't mind
weather
doing
was
it
perfect.
Same time next year.
Yeah.
Weather was, like, perfect.
I had a conversation with a friend of ours that goes down to Key West frequently. She lives in Miami. And she said that number of people and all that we had there is normal for this time of year.
Wow.
So she said, just any of these weeks, book it, you'll be fine. So I'm like, cool.
The guy in the Uber on the way to the airport said this was the best time to come. Kind of that after spring break, before the summer.
Yeah.
And then he said, you know, after, was it June, July? Nobody really goes down there because
it's too hot
to go vacation.
I believe that.
So he's like, vacation is October to like June.
Yeah. I was in Puerto Rico one time in August. It was miserable.
Miserable.
Yes. Horrible.
Horrible. Horrible.
Horrible.
Terrible. It was terrible.
Terrible.
It was terrible.
Terrible. But
well, I'm glad you guys had a good vacation.
We did. But because of that... I took a couple weeks off of Optavia.
Oh, you did.
And it was not good. I tried to be responsible. I really did try to eat healthier options. But I did gain a little bit of weight, which was frustrating. Because if you remember, last time we talked to y'all, we just gotten back from the leadership conference thing we did.
Right.
And you did really good. No breakfast.
And we did no breakfast, and I gained like a pound or two. But nothing else. And so then I got back home, and I did get back on Octavia, and I was doing very well. And then we ended up going down to Florida for this last-minute deal. And I, again, tried to do responsible, healthy, good options. I still came back, and 276.2 or something like that on the maybe 0.4. It kind of was doing that thing where the numbers go side to side.
The scale was shaking.
I have so much disappointment and shame. I'm like, oh, come on. I can't believe all that happened.
What did you start off on again? Remind everybody.
It's like 290.
And you're at what now?
276.
Still
but
good.
If you go back and listen to the episodes, I've been in the 270 range for a couple months now.
Right.
And it's frustrating.
Sure.
And it's... I don't have any travel planned between now and first part of June. So I'm like, I have a couple or several weeks where I really can stay on top of it. And even since we've been back from down in Florida, I've done pretty good. I haven't really eaten anything crazy. And so now it's like just try to work and grind and not eat things that I want to eat.
Right.
And try to exercise moderation along with maintaining the Octavia plan. Because, again, it is the lean and green. That's all I can eat at night. Which y'all saw tonight. I had we had a little dinner before the show. It was kind of a bring-your-own meal, I guess, it turned into.
Yes.
And so we had salmon and...
salmon and zucchini.
Salmon tomato. And zucchini with tomato. So the salmon and the zucchini and tomato was like a vegetable melody. Sautéed together or whatever. And that was it. It was a good lean and green. It needed more vegetables technically to be on plan. It wasn't enough vegetables.
Sure.
I'm putting forth the effort. It's just really hard to travel and stay on plan. It's really hard to go to places where, you know, like the leadership conference, people were buying us dinners. So it's hard to order a salad at a steakhouse when someone's paying for your dinner. Right. It's mental. I know there's some people listening that's going like, no, it's not hard at all. It's easy.
Right.
But when you've gotten this big and food is your favorite thing, it's very difficult.
Yeah.
So it's been a struggle. I'm hoping next week we're going to have some better reporting than what I've been giving y'all as of the past few weeks. But that's where we're at. That's the honest review. It's difficult. And I'm right there in the weeds, and I'm hoping to pull myself out of the weeds.
I think this is where, as friends, we jump in and say, you know, you're conscious of it. If you were completely oblivious and to what was going on and you just weren't even trying anymore, well, that's a failure.
Yeah.
Right? This isn't a failure. This is human nature, and we all go through it when we're trying to deal, lose weight or change a habit. We all go through
anything.
It. And when you're conscious of what's going on and you're still making an effort, you know, well, I think that's not failure. That's just trying to stick with it in human nature.
Yeah.
So I think as long as you're sticking with it, you know, you got our back. We got your back.
All right. Well, that does bring us to our Octavia feeling of the day, of the week. And this one I really like. Who likes oatmeal cookies with the icing on top? The soft oatmeal cookies with the icing on top. Do you?
Mm.
Oh, wow.
I like oatmeal cookies, but not the icing.
Eric?
Yeah, I'm not an icy.
Neither for me.
My stepdad used to have them in the truck quite a bit.
Well, screw all y'all.
But you know what? But wait, our viewers might.
I bet our viewers do.
Comment below if you like them.
Yes. So this is Raisin Oat Cinnamon Crisp Bar. I don't know why they say crisp. There's nothing crispy about it. But it is it is basically an oatmeal cookie with icing. So the bar, I had to take it out to show you, but the top two-thirds of it, maybe top 75% of it, is a oatmeal cookie, basically. Yes, it's got raisins in it, and I hate raisins, but they are
few and far between.
They're few and far. There's not enough to worry about. And then the back half of it is just icing. Just that white icing that goes on.
Yeah.
I love these. This is great. It's very soft. Like, again, I don't know why they call it crisp. Delicious. This is one of the ones I really like. Again, if you like it so much, you have five in one day, you're still staying on plan.
Sure.
You're still losing weight. And I think that's one thing I love about this plan. You can get some of these really good flavors that are really good. It says naturally flavored because they are using, like, if you look through all the ingredient lists and stuff, they are using all the, like, actual oatmeal and actual all that natural stuff. It's
sure.
not it's not a Laffy Taffy, banana Laffy Taffy that's made up of ethyl whatever
right.
concentrate.
Yeah.
So, but that's the one for the day. Sweet. The week, and it's one I really, really, really like. Well,
nice.
After Key West, my good friends Buttermilk and Chili took a trip to California.
We did.
I heard you had a spectacular, uneventful trip.
Spectacularly uneventful trip, if you count everything from Friday about midnight Pacific time to the time we got home yesterday at about 5 p.m. Eastern.
But you left before Friday midnight Pacific time.
We did. We left Friday at 6 a.m. Eastern time.
So pray tell.
Most flights out of Columbus are going to connect through a Delta hub.
They're on Delta.
If you're flying through Delta, yes.
The American doesn't fly.
Southwest doesn't do that either. Sorry. So we had a 6 a.m. flight from Columbus to Atlanta.
That's so early. Y'all, we live like 40 minutes from the airport.
I was up at three.
I had to get my coffee. Yeah.
Our boarding time was 5:20.
40 minutes at the speed limit.
Yeah.
And I travel the speed limit because I'm conscientious like that. Yeah. Careful. Okay. Especially at 5 in the morning when there's no one on the freeway.
Except people going to the airport.
To the airport, exactly. In some other cities at 5 a.m., people are going to work, but not here in Columbus.
Yeah.
So on the way to the airport, we get notification that our flight was delayed.
Oh.
And we look, and, well, it still shows a 6 a.m. departure with the 5:20 boarding time. What happened was they pushed back our arrival time in Atlanta because there was weather between Columbus and Atlanta, and they had to go around it.
Oh, okay.
So it was going to be a little bit longer than planned.
We've done that.
The delay was going to cause our next flight, which we had like 35 minutes to connect, we're going to miss that flight. So they gave it was delay. They started putting us on other flights and that kind of thing. Well, we get to Atlanta, and we hustle butt to get to the gate where our next flight is leaving. Our plan was to be in L.A. early. We'd have been in L.A. at 9:30 in the morning. Plan was to get there early, do some stuff that we wanted to do, and then meet up with family for the family thing we'll discuss later.
Yeah.
So we hustle. We get there. They open the doors to the plane wasn't closed, but the boarding gate was closed.
Oh.
But there were apparently 10 passengers that hadn't made it yet. They're kind of waiting to see if we could get there.
Okay.
We get there. They put us on the plane. We sat there another 15 minutes probably before
they
closed the door.
So they reopened the gate door?
They reopened the gate door.
Wow.
Because the plane door hadn't closed
yet. I understand, but that's still super rare.
They reopened it, put us on the plane. And we sat there another 15 minutes before the doors actually closed, and they pushed back. So we got lucky, or so we thought.
And that was
Atlanta.
That was
Delta's
flagship A350
it was.
Airplane.
Yes, it was.
My favorite
it was
airplane.
It's
beautiful.
Beautiful plane. So we're on the plane. We're doing our thing. You know, beverages have been passed out. And
about 2 hours.
2 hours in, the pilot comes on and he goes,
"Ladies and gentlemen, just wanted to come on here and let you know we're having, you know, we feel like honesty is the best policy here and want to be full disclosure with you. And, you know, we like to take care of our customers here on Delta Airlines. We are proud to be a very customer-focused airline and just want to be up front with you." That went on for like, I don't know, 15 minutes. Just so you know here, we're seeing the little warning lights here in the cockpit on the right engine. It's Yeah, it's showing we're having low oil in the engine, so we're been talking to control, and we're gonna have to divert here either to Houston or Dallas. They haven't decided which one yet, but just so you know, we're probably a half hour out from doing that. But That right, engine, we're going to probably shut it down here in a little bit, so you'll hear it shut down, but we're still going to be safe to get to DFW or to Houston. So, you know, we'll come back on a little bit and let you know what's going on.
My God, that's verbatim. That's just...
Everything was fine. The plane was still flying smoothly. No one panicked. You know, you didn't. I'm seriously looking around like, am I going to freak out? No one freaked out.
Well,
no,
they
panicked.
Might have at the very beginning.
Well, they may have. Yeah,
there were some. Yeah. Some leather
probably
pulled
some,
up in the
some praying going on. Yeah. And some prayer beads and. So the flight attendants come through and they take all of our stuff because they're, you know, getting us ready to land. Right. So, a few minutes later.
Ladies and gentlemen, here from the pilot from the cockpit again. Just wanted to keep you updated on what's going on here. They decided to go ahead and divert us over to DFW. It's good. We're about a half hour out from there. Things are looking good up here, though. I mean, we're still showing that low oil in the engine, but the oil pressure is good, which is kind of funny, but, you know, weird. But, you know, it is what it is. So, yeah, so we're going to land here in DFW about a half hour. Once we get to hit the ground... just say, don't be surprised if you see the fire engines coming out. They're just gonna come look and see and make sure everything's okay. So yeah, how about a half hour here? We're gonna start a descent now to Dallas, and I'll give you more information as I get it. Yeah, so you know we're looking at things. All right, well we're gonna be a little late, you know. Yeah, so then you know you say Delta alert. Oh well, your next flight leaves at 11:45. But it's the same flight number. Okay, well, maybe they think there's just something simple with the plane.
Yeah.
You know? So,
We land.
And,
they're going to bring out, like, 6 quarts of oil and just pour it in.
Well, that's what
just
I'm thinking. Top the engine. You know, oil pressure's good.
Yeah. But
they got to, you know, tighten up the plug or something.
Yeah.
And we're good to go.
Hey, so when that plug gets loose.
We, we get hit the ground and we stop and...
You hit the ground?
We land.
Okay.
We land. That, it was a smooth landing.
It was.
They take us off onto a taxiway and... There's a fire engines driving around the truck or the plane.
With a mechanic.
Not a mechanic.
No, outside. They
outside,
did,
yeah.
The they did fire engines and mechanic.
They take a look around, and he comes back going,
ladies and gentlemen, your pilot speaking again from the cockpit. Don't be alarmed by those fire engines that are outside. They're just checking us out, making sure everything looks good, and they're telling us things look good. So they're going to taxi us out here to a remote gate, and we're going to park there for a minute and see what's going on, and we'll keep you up to date on what's happening.
So we taxi to the gate.
Forever away.
We were forever away. It was like a half hour taxi.
Oh, DFW is...
Well,
oh,
because the biggest place they had for us was their international, which was like around on a different, completely different acreage.
DFW only has tiny airplanes for Delta.
Yeah.
Oh, and tiny.
Yeah.
I mean like A220. Mm-hmm. You remember the models from last season?
Yep.
Tiny.
Right.
Yep. I flew one recently
around to the international side. Like, it was a long taxi. And we pull in there, and then they had...
So we pull in there, and pilot comes back on board.
It's your pilot from the cockpit again. We want to thank you for your patience and being customers of Delta, because we really appreciate your money. And just want you to know that they're having to pull the jet bridge out. It's taking a little time. They didn't have a staff here for us, so we'll have that taken care of in just a few minutes here.
Fast forward a few minutes, we see two firefighters in full gear, breathing apparatus and everything.
Yeah.
Come on the plane with two Delta maintenance guys, right?
Mind you, nothing's wrong.
Yeah, nothing's wrong, but they got full gear on. You figure at this point they would have taken the BA off, and no, they got full gear. So a few minutes later, the pilot comes back, and I'll spare you guys all the voice, but he lets us know that they're going to put the plane out of service.
Yep.
And we have to get on another plane, but to hang tight, that they're going to have some customer support folks come on board. And let us know what's going on.
They just let you know what's going on.
Well, how we're going to change planes or whatever. So the next
just
person.
Door to door?
Yeah, exactly. just like you would in a straight truck, yeah. So the next person we see board the plane is a red coat. So just for you folks that don't know, Delta's customer service folks on the ground wear red coats. You ever see a Delta person wearing a red coat? They have some power. Go up to them and tell them what your problem is.
And that's not a gate agent. That is a real customer service.
It's a real customer service person.
And
she took over the mic.
She did. She did.
Baby! I just want to let y'all know how much we appreciate your patience and how we're dealing with this situation here. At this point, the plane's been put out of service, and we don't have all the details of how we're going to change things for you. But what we're going to do here is, y'all is at D14 now. We need y'all to go over to E14. You can take the tram. They have the tram to get you over there, and then we'll let you know what's happening once you get to E14, okay? Thank you again for y'all being safe. If you're looking for some food recommendations, my grandma got some greens, collard greens and cornbread over at gate A12 that y'all can eat. But until then, we want y'all to go over to E14, and we'll tell you what's happening, okay? All right, now, y'all be good. Baby, we love y'all, and thank you for traveling Delta Airlines.
So we get off there, and we're in the international terminal. We got to go to this other gate, and it's a hike. It's a hike to the tram.
Yeah.
And then once off the tram, it's a hike to the gate they want
and
you
to get. And you've got 200 passengers.
Right. Oh, and it's an escalator to the tram, isn't it?
It is. It's an escalator to
it's
from
a long,
the tram.
A
yes.
long. Oh, it's an S.
Oh, yes.
Yes. Escalator.
Yes. And so then we get to A14, and now we've created a congregated line of 200 people.
And you know how wide the hallways are.
Not very wide.
Not very,
they're not
no.
wide.
They're very small.
And other pilots and the other attendants are making snarky comments. I'm like, really? You can't see what's going on here? I mean, it's not like we're all huddled up here to get on a plane or anything. There's something going on.
Right.
I mean, let's have some kindness. But we all stood there. They had three people at a table, a makeshift table, trying to get everybody rebooked.
Informed.
Rebooked. Your next rebook wasn't even going to be till 4 o'clock or the next day going out of there. And even at that, those planes aren't going to accommodate all 200 of us.
No.
Yeah.
And so they finally figured it all out. And
we stood there for about half an hour, and the line didn't move.
No.
So at some point I walked up, I could see the line actually start moving a little bit. I'm like, well, let me just go up and eavesdrop on what's being said up front, because I can't hear you from here.
Because nobody else, they weren't doing the
telephone line. Yeah, they
weren't
doing large. So I walked up front, and the red coat was explaining to a small group of people that they were bringing another plane in from Atlanta, same type plane. We'd have the same seats. They're going to bring that plane in from Atlanta, and we'd be on our way. We're looking at 3:30-ish was the ETA at that point for us to reboard. Mm. That ETA got pushed back to 4:30 and then to 5:30, which they actually kind of stuck to.
Yeah.
Except that we couldn't board an A350 at that gate because it was too small. We had to go back to the original gate where they let us off to board the plane.
Yeah.
However, Finnair had a flight going out of there at 4:50. So we had to wait for them to push back.
You had to wait for the Finnair to finish?
Once they pushed back, they pulled our plane in. But at this point, they now have to reboard us all manually. So they got paper manifest. We want A through K in this line and L through Z in this line. So people
are
rushing.
Families of four were completely families were
different.
In a different line.
So people are rushing to the gate, and there's long lines. And Melissa and I just sat there in our seat and watched the whole thing.
For probably about 30 minutes.
At least.
30 minutes
at
we
least.
Watched. It's like,
before
why get up and stand?
There were five people in line, and we got up and went and walked in. So we get the boarding done, and we're sitting there for probably another 45 minutes. And a different passenger comes on, and a different pilot comes on over here.
Ladies and gentlemen, just want to let you know how much we appreciate you flying Delta Airlines and your patience today. We realize it's been a long and challenging day, but we just want to thank you for your business and for choosing Delta. We know you have many options in who you fly with, but again, thank you for choosing Delta and paying your money to us. I meant to say, too, that they're just doing some stuff on the back end here. With the paperwork, we got some issues with the names on the manifest. We just get that straightened out. We'll be on our way.
Well, didn't you have that same problem last week where you had six people get on the plane that didn't belong?
Didn't belong.
Anyway, so we finally take off about 7:30. We arrive in L.A. at 8:30 L.A. time, and got our baggage and got to the hotel. So got to the hotel probably right about 10 o'clock Pacific time.
Yeah.
Did they have, did Delta give you catering or anything on the plane?
No.
We did have the drink service.
Did they comp the drinks or anything?
We were in Comfort Plus, so they were
already there.
Okay.
No, they provided
they
two rounds of vouchers.
Two vouchers each for $12
a piece
in the airport.
So $48 total.
Yeah, which covered
peanuts. And a tuna fish sandwich.
Yeah, but it was peanuts, but they weren't like the honey roasted.
No, that was...
They did have water, and they had some snacks.
They did, at the gate, they did have snacks for us.
While we were all there.
Yeah.
And then...
Did y'all end up going and getting food?
We did.
We did, once.
We did.
Early on, we should have done a second round, but...
But did they have plastic wrap box lunches like AA?
No, they didn't. They did have water that was plastic wrapped.
Like you from the factory.
Yeah, exactly.
It was just a long day.
It was a long day. I mean, we made the best of it. We had a little something to eat. We hung out. And
we were able to move our plans from Friday that we had to Monday, so that worked out well that business establishment was open again on Monday. But
ultimately, we were happy the pilot made the decision he did. Safety first, right? So, yeah, we're delayed. We had issues. The reason we're going was my daughter's wedding, which wasn't until Sunday, so we had a little time. So it worked out fine for us. Once we got to the hotel, got some sleep, Saturday we were good to go.
Yeah.
So, like I said, we were there for my daughter's wedding.
Yep.
My daughter got married on Saturday.
No, she didn't.
On Sunday.
My
other daughter got married on Saturday.
No, she didn't.
I'm sorry, I only have one daughter.
That's right.
So the funny story is that her fiance and her, they were dating for a decade, 1 year, 1 month, and 1 day.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
On the day they got married.
On the day they got married.
That's awesome.
So it was, I didn't think they were getting married because they'd been together for so long.
A decade.
And they were happy, a decade.
Yeah.
But they decided to do it, which I'm very happy for her. So my daughter, I got my daughter to the wedding chapel Sunday morning before the wedding. And as she's closing the door after getting out of the car, because I was dropping off, I was going to park, she goes, "Oh, you're walking me down the aisle."
And close the door.
And it's like
that's we've
good
had all this time leading up to it. Yeah. We had a 45-minute drive from the hotel to get there.
Yeah.
And
I go,
literally,
yep,
as she's
daughter.
Closing the door, she says, "Oh, by the way, you're walking me down the aisle."
That's my daughter. Yeah, so.
I told them, I said, "You better go find parking quick."
it was a very fun ceremony.
It was
reception
very
after was fun. It was a good time. So I'm very happy for her. Very proud of her.
Well, the pictures of you two. Well, you and Melissa. I didn't see the. I saw the pictures of you and your daughter and all of y'all, like a big photo. But the picture of you and Melissa dressed up in all the formal wear, it was really, you'll see it right now. It's actually over us right now.
Yeah,
and all you
we'll
see is
that.
The picture and you don't see us at all. And look at you, stud, right? Stud.
You know, I got the beard trimmed, so I'm not looking homeless anymore, which none of you have commented on. the lack of homeless looking Vince. And I thought we looked amazing. Melissa, beautiful as ever.
Oh, yes. Thank you.
You know, if I wasn't standing next to her, I would look homeless still. So, yeah.
Homeless in a suit.
Homeless
that
in a suit.
That feels like Sleepless in Seattle or something.
Like that.
It's funny. Like, so Eric and I both saw the photo, and I saw it. I didn't say anything. And Eric's like, "Oh, he's got one of the, like, pocket things."
There's a story behind that, too.
Oh.
I normally would have a pocket square anyway, but I promised my daughter years ago, I was looking for a tie for a job interview, and she was with me, and they had a bow tie there, and we were joking about the bow tie. And somehow, some way, I told her, "When you get married, I'm going to learn how to tie a bow tie." So I'm thinking she's never getting married.
Yeah.
Well, she's getting married. Who knew that bow ties come in different lengths?
I didn't.
So I'm watching YouTube videos, and I got the bow tie on my neck. I'm like, yep, that's not going to work. And it's too late now to go out and buy another bow tie because it's Sunday.
Yeah.
So the bow tie went in my pocket as a pocket square.
Nice.
So I shared it with my daughter with the story behind it. The pocket square was my bow tie.
Well, and it's folded, so it's kind of being tied.
There you go. It's folded and nice. And I didn't tell her I wear it on my neck. I just told her I learned to tie one.
Yeah.
Which I did. So anyway, they got married Sunday. A beautiful ceremony, like I said. And that's what we were there for. We came home Tuesday.
Yes.
Yeah, we got home Tuesday about 5 p.m.
That was yesterday. Yes, whatever Tuesday is.
Sat down
is.
And didn't do a damn thing.
Yeah, I get that.
Yeah, it was a good trip. It was a good trip.
Yep.
And the way back was uneventful?
Way back was very uneventful. We landed early on both flights. We flew into Minneapolis from L.A. and then Minneapolis to Columbus, and both flights we were early. And nice. Very uneventful, yeah.
Well, I'm glad your emergency situation was so calm.
Yeah, it was. I'm glad, too.
Mine with Eric and our emergency situation was on an Embraer. And we, the plane, the engines turned off. The plane nosedived. Flight attendants quickly put the cart away and sat down. There was no grabbing anything off anybody's plate, right, off trays or anything. You just hold on to it.
Yeah.
And then for like 15, maybe 10 minutes, which felt like an hour, we didn't know what was going on. We just know the plane's diving. And that was our experience. So a little different.
A little different. Yeah,
a little different.
A little different.
But then we were also on United. Maybe that's, you know.
Yeah, could be, yeah. So. Well, I'm sure during that 10-minute period, then with no engines running, the pilots were doing their thing, trying to get them started back again.
Well, they actually turned them off. Ours was a pressure issue. We lost. We had a slight, a slow pressure leak.
Gotcha.
And so when that happens, immediately descend down to 10,000 feet.
I think our pilot was more like, oh, that gauge is showing low oil.
He flicks it.
Well, you got to remember.
Yeah, it hasn't changed. So let me just go ahead and go through the checklist real quick. And
yeah. Yeah, but you got to keep in mind, the people that are flying A350s, they've been flying for decades.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
They're 20-year veterans. They've got, you know, tons of flight hours.
I'm sure.
They're very experienced. Very, very good pilots. So,
I think if it was his personal plane, mind you, I realize it's a huge commercial one.
He'd have gone for it.
He would have gone the whole way to LAX.
Well,
again, if it was his personal plane, no bodies to account for, that kind of thing, maybe just him and his buddy, they probably would have risked going all the way to LAX.
Eric and I talked about this. So the beauty of that plane is, I think it's 270 minutes. It might be 310. That's the number of minutes it can fly on one engine, which means if it departs Atlanta and immediately loses an engine,
right,
it can still fly all the way to LAX.
On one engine.
On one engine.
Amazing.
Now, you would never do that. That's risky, right? Like,
sure.
Right.
But you got tons of airports, land it, fix,
right,
it,
fix
or,
it,
or get whatever.
Yeah.
But if you're over the Pacific Ocean, you don't have an option.
Yeah.
But now you've got, what is that, what is 270, 5, 6 hours, 5 hours?
Sure. I'll take your word for it.
60 times 5 is 300. So, yeah, 5 hours. You got 5 hours to find a place to land. Well, you can get somewhere in 5 hours.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's, yeah. I mean, I think you're right. If they were ferrying the plane, I think they'd have just gone for it.
Right.
And I think, too, that had his tone not been so calm, there may have been a little more panic in the people. But just,
well, and he did say it was losing. It was. I don't know how you have two different gauges. Something was showing that it was losing oil.
Right.
But they still had oil pressure.
So.
So yay that you're still showing oil pressure, because that's a good thing.
Yeah. So I read an article the other day that came over, because I, you know, you get my private license and everything, and it was a guy talking about he was in the plane I fly, so it's relevant, and he said. He was flying. They were at 10,000 feet. The plane showed low oil, but he still had oil pressure. He checked all the gauges. Everything looked fine. He said, you know what? Let's get on the ground anyways.
Yeah.
And so they went ahead. Again, single engine, a little different than if you have two engines. So they went ahead. They found the closest airport, and they declared an emergency and went and landed. And when they got off onto the ramp, he opened up the little oil fill, it's like a little door just strictly for the oil. Open it up, pull the thing. They were at 1.2 quarts.
And they're supposed to have?
7.
Yeah. Wow.
So they had a real issue, and if he'd have kept flying, he'd have lost the engine.
Yeah. And I'd imagine that since they put the plane out of service, we were actually low on oil, too.
They found something. Even,
they found something. They found a problem other than a sensor saying, you're low on oil.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
So I was like, pull this bit. Thing in the fighter.
To fighter?
Yeah. Pull in the fighter. Have him swap a sensor. Let's get back on the road.
Well, you know
what? No, wait. Fighter will get you to next week.
Oh, gosh.
They'll get to you next week.
We love fighter. They're great people. Anyways,
you
know what? The other thing it sinks to is, like, they landed at DFW, and I'm sure there's an Airbus something there, and I'm sure they'll be able to work on the engine there.
Oh, sure.
But DFW is American Airlines' primary, one of their primary hubs.
Yeah.
I think it is their biggest hub. And American Airlines doesn't fly any A350s.
Oh, wow.
So it's not like.
They just call American and say, can we
buy
a part?
Because that does happen. Like, if you see, like, sometimes leaving Atlanta, you pass by the huge Delta flight ops.
Right.
Depending on what runway you go by, you'll see an American airlines playing there, are United playing in there. Like, if it breaks down and it's at that airport and it has to be fixed before it can fly,
bring it over.
They'll use each other's services. Sure. Why not? It's not, they're not that kind of competitors.
I wouldn't be surprised if that part, whatever part they needed on the, on that that first plane, was sent in on that second plane.
Could be.
You know, if there's no other A350s,
especially coming
there,
from Atlanta.
You know, sure, why not?
Yeah.
Throw it on there and get busy.
Yeah. They may have even flown in a mechanic with it.
Yeah, absolutely could have been.
Yeah.
I mean, that wouldn't surprise me either.
Yeah, Delta is very Delta Tech Ops is very on it. Yeah. I did get a news article that I thought we'd talk about real quick. Two reasons. One is because we like to talk about the news. But secondly, because it hits home, I think, especially with Chili. And I wanted to talk about it with him because I don't have experience with some of this, and I think you do.
Okay.
The title of the article is Distracted Tesla Driver on Autopilot Hits and Kills a Motorcyclist.
Oof.
And it's under investigation.
Is that what you see?
So, in Washington.
I know, that's what I saw, too. We saw the freeze warning. We thought
there's
that
a freeze coming.
We thought that's what your article was about.
That's hysterical.
Conditions could kill or damage sensitive plants.
I know.
I
thought that's definitely newsworthy.
We learned that.
I thought you were trying to provoke me.
No, we learned that a long time ago. We did it 2 years in a row. We got us 2 years in a row. We killed all our plants. But no, this is out of Washington.
Snohomish.
Is that how you say that?
Snohomish.
That's a lot of O's.
Verify that for me.
Snohomish.
All right. The driver of a Tesla was on autopilot mode, distracted by his cell phone, when his vehicle lurched forward and hit and killed a motorcyclist on Friday afternoon. So I read the article. What they're saying is the driver of the Tesla was set on autopilot, and something happened while it was moving, and it went forward. And it hit a motorcyclist. It actually ran over the motorcyclist.
Oof.
Stopped.
And trapped him.
And trapped him in. Yeah. And he was pronounced dead on the scene, unfortunately. Yeah. They did say that the motorcyclist, I think, was coming home from lunch. Or going somewhere from lunch. And at lunch, he did have a drink.
The driver of the Tesla.
I'm sorry.
Yeah,
did I say motorcyclist?
The Tesla was at lunch and had a drink.
Yes, I meant the Tesla. I'm so sorry. I apologize for that. I did mean the Tesla driver. Had one drink. On the when he was pulled out of the car, he did do a field sobriety test, and the officer said the only thing he did was on, like, walking the straight line on a crack or whatever. He at one point he did put a foot down off the line, but the officer said that's perfectly normal. That's not anybody can have a little balance issue or whatever. The rest of it he did fine. Then later on at the jail they had the professional DUI people.
A drug recognition expert.
That's the one. Come out and tested his blood, right? Or was it his blood or was it his cognitive?
They said they did a evaluation.
Yeah. Whatever that means.
But so an expert on impairment.
Yes.
Did the evaluation, and that opinion was he was not impaired.
Yes.
The driver of the Tesla.
Yeah.
So there's no DUI here.
Correct.
Or DWI, depending on what your state calls it. He was arrested for vehicular homicide, DSO, which I can only guess is distracted driving of some sort.
Yeah, that's what I think too.
So here's the thing. I heard last week that Tesla did a recall on their Cybertrucks. Have you heard about this?
Yes,
over 10,000.
I heard they did this over acceleration pedal sticking.
Yes. So what happens is the rubber pad on the metal pedal comes loose, and it gets lodged underneath the trim on the dash, and can cause the truck to just accelerate because it won't come loose.
So I had this problem. I don't know if you know or not. Back when I had my 2008 Toyota Tundra.
Okay.
The factory floor mats and the pedal were just a little too tight.
Yeah.
So if anything was just ever so off, it would actually grab the accelerator pedal when you floored or when you gave it gas. When you let up, it wouldn't let up.
Wouldn't come back.
And so Toyota literally, and this was, I thought it was so tacky, they literally just shaved the bottom of the pedal. And so from that point on, it just had this rough cut that they did, and that was the fix.
So what I've seen was Tesla's fix is to put a rivet in the bottom of the pedal.
Just to hold it.
Just to hold it. Anyway, so the article doesn't say what type of Tesla this guy was driving. And it, you know, if it's on autopilot, I don't know if autopilot actually moves the pedal. Sometimes it happens. I don't know if it actually moves the pedal. You know, I don't know if it was a Cybertruck or not.
I don't think so. Modern cars are all drive-by-wire.
So it may not move the pedal.
So it wouldn't be moving the pedal. Yeah. The pedal moving was a vacuum system that they don't really use anymore.
All right. So
it did say in the article, too, that they are investigating to see if the vehicle really was on autopilot.
Right.
They are, you know, they got to check and see, is this guy telling the truth? Was it just on cruise control and he just didn't pay attention?
Well, he did say it lurched forward.
But he also said he was in motion. So
well, he was moving forward.
Yeah.
But he's saying that. The driver is saying that he looked down by his cell phone, the vehicle lurched forward and hit and killed the motorcyclist.
So I am curious. They got to be able to download and see if it was on autopilot or not.
Sure.
I mean, the lurch forward, all that stuff, did it have, did not. I don't know. People
can,
say things.
Tesla can see that as well.
Yes, I agree.
Right.
And I think that's why they're doing their investigation, right? They're trying to figure out all that.
So if it's the car's fault, is he then not held responsible?
He is.
Yes, he is.
Yes.
Because with autopilot is not true self-driving where you start the car, put it in your navigation where you want to go, take your hands off the wheel, and the car drives you there. Autopilot still requires you to have your hands on the steering wheel and some awareness of what's around you.
Do you have to have your hands on the steering wheel?
You have to.
Okay.
If you take them off for too long, it'll tell you, hey, put your hands on the steering wheel.
Okay.
Yes, you have to. So autopilot is really a bad name for this system. It's more assistive driving. Well, if you have your hands on the steering
like
wheel, the car will
control.
Do what it wants. Yeah, the car will change lanes and get you where you need to be, but you still have to have your hands on the steering wheel showing that you're aware. Okay.
Okay.
The issue here is something I've heard before from Motorcycle Podcast is motorcycles are hard to recognize.
Yeah.
You know, because they're so narrow.
So does the car not have enough awareness of it?
Possibly.
Sensors or whatever those are called
sensors.
On an auto?
Yeah. Yeah, it's possible. So it's really, and we don't have any information in the article on how this happened. I think it says it rear-ended him.
Yes.
So that's all we have. We don't know positioning of where the car hit him, where the motorcycle was in the lane.
Correct.
If the motorcycle come over in the lane, they cut him off basically, and the car didn't have time to react and stop. We don't know.
Right.
Right. So it's really hard to
it
say.
It also
what
said
the
guy heard a thud and then the vehicle lurched forward, I think is what it said. So I do wonder, could it be where the motorcycle came over and hit the car and then got pulled under?
Could be.
Could be something like that.
Yeah, could be.
I know this. So like on my Jeep, it's got the adaptive cruise control. Love it. I'm such a huge fan of adaptive cruise control. You can go through traffic, hit it, and you ain't got to stress. But you still got to be alert.
Sure.
Because there will be times, depending on like the way the sun hits the car in front of me or something like that, that it will trick the car into the Jeep into thinking there's not a car there. And you will feel the vehicle accelerate, and it's like, nope, you got to immediately hit that brake or it'll just ram into that car.
Yeah.
I don't know if it'll ram into it or if it'll get close enough that it sees it and hit the brake,
but I'm not going to try it. Yeah.
So you're still aware.
Yeah, so you still have to pay attention, even with what I've got. Now, this is a next level up, but so my Jeep has a row of sensors in the bumper, a camera on the our radar camera thing on the in the grill, and then another camera up behind the rearview mirror. So it's got three different sources detecting vehicles in front of it, and it still misses not a motorcycle, a car. If the sun or whatever hits it the right way.
Also, if you're going through a curve, I think the camera will turn or focus at the angle your steering wheel's at.
A little bit, yeah.
But even doing that, sometimes it's not at the right angle to catch somebody when you're going to a slight curve.
Yeah. So I'm assuming if they're using similar technology to what Tesla's using, then it does leave the room for failure.
Sure.
I mean, remember, it wasn't too long ago, a year or two ago, that I think it might have been the first big fatal accident Tesla had. Guy was driving and a semi-truck turned in front of him.
Right.
And the car saw the white semi-truck and thought it was Sky and just right into it.
Underneath
it. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I
think there's so much here. Yes, we're talking about Tesla and autopilot. Ultimately, we have a distracted driver.
Yes, 100%.
right? If he had been paying attention, could the accident still have happened? Possibly, because, you know, we don't know what the dynamics of the accident were, where the motorcycle came from, right? So if he did cut him off and the driver didn't have time to react, sure, it could have still been a fatal accident. But ultimately, we have a distracted driver that, even if it wasn't his fault, the bike cut him off, he's admitted that he was distracted. He admitted that he looked down at his phone, and that right there says, now it's your fault.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, it's challenging. The adaptive cruise control is amazing. I used it this weekend in L.A. where it's just traffic.
Oh, yeah.
And I set it at 45 on the freeway because traffic was going 15, 20 miles an hour.
I was
going
to say, I
wasn't going back and forth, you know, accelerated or brake. I just set it on 45 and let it do its thing. It slowed me down, sped me up, slowed, you know, so it was great.
Yeah.
We had another situation where I was merging right and didn't realize the lane next to me was merging with my lane. So I was moving right to get into that lane that wouldn't exist, and it came to a close, and the automatic crash thingy start beeping and going off inside the car and pull me to the left and brake for me and save my ass, basically.
What? Yeah. I thought it was me. I hollered at you. That car's coming over.
Yeah.
Where are you going?
Anyway. But the safety factors kicked in, right? So,
yeah.
I mean, things like autopilot or adaptive cruise control or lane departure, they have their place, but they don't take over for the human behind the steering wheel.
Right.
So.
Yeah, I think we have a long way to go. I know a lot of people have said, like, well, you know, you fly. Don't you just set the autopilot and roll on or whatever? And it's like, well, not exactly. I mean, you can for most stages of flight, but there's still a lot of it that is human driven. Autopilot, even trains, right? If there's any autopilot in the world, it's got to be trains.
They're on the rails.
You know what Union Pacific and all those big train companies have?
They got a dead man switch.
Yeah. When you're in that train and you're driving the train, there's no steering wheel. I don't know why I did that. But you give it gas or throttle, whatever.
Right.
And every so many seconds, I forget what it is, you have to hit a little switch.
Mm-hmm.
Hit a little button.
Say, I'm still here.
And if you
still
don't
driving.
Hit that button, it sounds an alarm. If you don't hit it after the alarm, it I was going to say vibrate steering wheel, but I don't think it does that either.
I think
it just slows the train down and brings it to a stop and then alerts on the radio that we have a problem. Like, even trains have to have some form of human.
Oh, in case something happens to the driver?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, illness, heart attack, something like that?
Yep. Yeah.
Because they can't respond to signals or radio commands. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
And then you're going to have even bigger.
Yep.
Wow,
think about what happened.
Cool.
I don't know if you remember this. Several years ago in Spain on the high-speed rail, there was a train that went into a corner, went way too fast, threw the cars off the rails. It was a passenger train, killed a bunch of people. And it was the train driver was on a cell phone and ignored the warnings and the signs and everything. Like, I don't know of any outside of the, you know, very small systems at airports and stuff. I don't know of any real large transportation that is completely autonomous. And I'm not knocking Tesla. I'm a huge Tesla fan.
Oh, sure.
I love all that stuff. The Tesla semi-truck, I know a lot of people hate it. I think it's really cool. I think it's going to serve some very good applications.
It will.
We're a long way from it being the new norm across the country, but it will have
its place.
And it will do good. Electric vehicles, buses and stuff. Like, imagine electric city buses. Imagine electric school buses. Imagine your kid goes to school on a bus in that afternoon when they get on the bus and all the buses turn on. They don't have a plume of smoke, which is what they have right now, and all these kids are breathing in diesel fumes. Imagine that just doesn't exist anymore. Imagine how much money a school system can save not buying diesel for hundreds, if not thousands, of buses and strictly using electricity. I'm just saying, like, there are some very refuse garbage trucks notoriously get 2 to 3 miles per gallon, and that's just pumping tons of toxins in our air, right? Imagine if they just don't zero, they put nothing out. You know what I mean? Like, that's the beauty of electricity, is it's only using it when it's making power. It's very efficient at torque. It's very good at propelling a vehicle forward. Like, that's one thing that bothered me about the mail contract. the U.S. Postal Service, when they upgraded their new their trucks to these new funky looking ones, they were supposed to be like 50% or 60% were supposed to be electric, and by the time it all got said and done, it's like 10% gonna be electric. The rest are gonna be gas. And I'm like, but that's gonna end up costing the post office so much money in the long run.
Yeah.
But
interesting.
So again, electric, for it, against it, whatever. It has its place, and it, when used properly, it's going to be very good.
Speaking of Tesla, I saw a Cybertruck in person over the weekend in L.A. It was black.
What?
They're so ugly.
Thank you. That's exactly where I was going. It's so ugly
in person. I saw a silver,
hideous.
I saw a silver one in between Key West and Miami. It was so pretty. I looked at that, and I was like, that's a good-looking little truck.
You saw it, didn't you? The Cybertruck?
I don't think so.
Okay.
They look so unique. Yeah,
the black one was just, it was so ugly.
I don't know that I would buy one.
It was so
ugly. It just feels very Star Wars to me, and I like that.
I mean, I've ridden in a couple of them as Ubers.
A Cybertruck?
A Model X, a Model 3.
Yeah.
Nice cars.
That is a big difference.
The Cybertruck.
The Model X is great. The Model 3 is junk.
It's a little car. It's a little small sedan.
I was surprised. It rides. We used to own a Nissan Versa.
Yeah.
The Model 3 rides rougher than the Nissan Versa and has more road noise. And I'm like, a $14,000 car versus a $38,000 car.
Yeah,
why does a $38,000 car ride rougher and is noisier? But now the X, the S, those, they're
Was the X
awesome.
The one in Vegas?
Yes.
Oh, that was a lovely car.
Yeah, I've ridden one here a couple times too. But yeah, the X was the one in Vegas. Yeah.
Well, lucky you.
Well, sometimes some of us don't.
Is that the one that the price is like double, triple?
They're like 100 grand-ish, right?
Yeah, the X is
a little expensive.
Yes. I think the problem with electric vehicles overall is their price. I mean, they're coming down some, but their price is so high, it's up front, you don't see the value.
It's coming down a lot.
Kia EV6. It's a nice little car. It's got a lot of power. It's got a lot of options. And with the government rebates, it's very affordable.
Did you just see Chevrolet and GMC just announced that their Silverado and whatever the other one is actually got – they were shooting for 400 miles to a charge.
Uh-huh.
And it actually came in at 440.
Wow.
They were shocked. Wow. They were legitimately – like, do you know what it takes to surprise General Motors? Like, they calculated everything to the T before it ever hit production. And they were like, wow, we actually did better than we thought we were going to do. this two trucks that are going to be, expensive. But when you realize that an F-150 are a gas-powered, nice, fully equipped, four-door, half-ton pickup truck is $65,000 these days.
That.
Electric's really not that much more expensive. It's interesting to see that change.
I'm looking forward to the prices coming down on electric.
Yeah.
As more are built and sold, watching the prices come down.
And Nissan's actually another one that's doing some good stuff. Their Leaf came out 70-mile charge. What a joke.
Yeah.
Their next one is like 250-mile charge.
Sure.
That's a big jump.
It's a big jump, and they are committed to, like Kia is, just keep the cost low.
Right.
They're like, how can we do this as cheaply as we can or whatever? So it's... there's some big things happening. I know a lot of people are talking about, like, well, what about mining it and all this stuff? They're coming out with better, more efficient, more ecological ways of mining this stuff. It's still mining. Mining's mining, right?
Well, sure.
Coal mining's bad. Lithium's mining.
The other question is, how is the electricity produced? Is it produced from coal or natural gas? Or how is it being produced? And are we still polluting that way versus solar or wind power,
Well, I agree. And there are still efficiency charts that show electricity is just so much more of a efficient way to move a car. Like, that even goes to how you produce the electricity. Like, not just the cost of it, but how you did it.
Sure.
Electricity is just so much more efficient than what gas is. So I don't know. I clearly, y'all know I'm excited and a proponent for it. That being said, a good DD13 diesel,
it
truck,
gets the job done.
Long range trucking, diesel's where it's at. There ain't nothing.
It really is.
Ain't nothing there.
So I can fill that up in 10 minutes and be down the road for another 1,000 miles.
Absolutely.
Versus an 8-hour charge. Yeah. I don't know what the charge is. Charging time is, so you know.
Yeah.
But I know it's not less than an hour for a full charge.
Yeah.
So yeah, they have their place. If I can park it overnight and charge it, great.
Yep.
You know, if I'm only running local, 250 miles in, out and back on one of the Teslas with the longer range batteries, I can do 500 miles on that, mm-hmm. get it back, park it for the night, be charged up, ready to go again tomorrow.
Yeah.
Great. But for what we do, it's just not going to work.
I think Europe will see a huge explosion in electric trucks because their cities are so much closer to each other,
yeah.
and they are, I can run overnight, unload
sure.
my load,
yep.
top off park the it. Truck, and then
keep going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Electric
cab over Scania, that'd be beautiful.
It would be. I don't know if it'd look any different than it does now.
It wouldn't. I think they're pretty trucks.
I don't understand why they have... Just the way they build trucks in Europe versus the way they build trucks in America. We're getting screwed, guys.
Big
Anyways, if you like what you see, please give us a thumbs up. Hit that subscribe button. If you really like what we're doing, share us with your friends and family. Throw us up on Facebook. Say, hey, hope you thought this episode was entertaining. This episode was funny. We would love for y'all to share us. Y'all are the people listening. Y'all are our biggest advocates, and we appreciate that. Y'all have been so great to us over the past few months. We're glad to be back. We're glad that I don't think we have any real things that I foresee over the next several weeks. So
I don't think so.
Hopefully part B of season 2 will be nice and go pretty good for a few weeks. What else do we have coming up? What am I forgetting, Jerry?
You covered it.
You said it
what
all,
good
Patrick.
News did you just post the other day? Speaking of subscribers.
Oh, yes. Our views.
Subscribers.
Yeah, our Highfield YouTube channel just hit over 1 million views. So woo-hoo. Thank you very much for that.
1 million views.
Yay. We're at 1,100,000 now.
Can wow. you imagine if we had a dollar for every... It doesn't matter. So anyways...
but hit that subscribe button because we really, really do need subscribers. It really, really does help us out in the algorithm. So that would be very helpful.
Absolutely. If you want to listen to us, but you're like, I'm driving down the road, it's hard to catch the YouTube. We're on every one of your favorite podcast platforms.
Yes, we are.
And if you're like, I don't listen to podcasts, what are podcasts? Check it out. You can pull it up on your podcast app on your phone, Apple. And
speaking of which, you may notice something going on weird with Google. Google actually just quit their Google podcast. Google's notorious for starting something and shutting it down.
Yeah.
So they have moved all their Google podcast into YouTube. So you will now see on YouTube, you will see one with a thumbnail that is the video version. And then you will also see one with the podcast thumbnail, which is just the audio version on the same platform. So kind of keep that in mind whenever you're looking for
nice.
Us.
Oh, that's interesting.
And if you like my impersonation of pilots, let me know. I got plenty more, you know.
Yeah. Or which one you like better.
Yeah,
yes,
exactly.
Absolutely. Drop us a comment right below. If you have anything you want us to talk about, any interesting articles, anything you were like, hey, this is really cool, like what you're doing here, don't like what you're doing there, X, Y, or Z, by all means, drop us a comment down
yeah.
below. Or you can send us an email at
theouterbeltpodcast@gmail.com.
That is...
theouterbeltpodcast@gmail.com.
One more time.
theouterbeltpodcast@gmail.com.
That's one E, not two.
That's right.
Yes. We love hearing from y'all. We love talking about things that y'all want us to talk about. Let's do it again next week.
Yeah, we should.
Yeah.
We should.
And we shall.
We shall?
We shall.
We shall. How British. We shall.
I'm Michelle with the Outer Belt Podcast.
Oh, I got to work on my British.
Oh dear,
your British. Before you do British
Captain
Airways,
voice, yeah,
or Fly Virgin.
Can you do exactly. Finnish? Finnair.
Can you finish? Can you finish? When he said Finnair earlier, by the way, that's the airline of
airline
Finland.
Of Finland. Yeah,
yep.
They're really cool.
Yep.
Everybody, drive safe. Make good decisions.
Yes. Don't leave money on the table.
And keep those wheels a turning.
Bye.
Good night.